Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Tailgate.
It's time for the tailgate.
Toss me a cold one. Nothing better than a 7 a.m. beer and an unbrushed mouth.
Your official weekend destination for all things football.
You are looking live.
The granddaddy
of them all.
NCAA.
Travis Hunter circles around down the sideline. There he goes. The most dynamic player in college football. Touchdown, Colorado.
The NFL.
Williams, pressure coming. He felt it. Looked. Saw it. Evaded it. Still on the move. Looking around. Williams is going to take off for the end zone.
It's like it's its own playground.
And now, it's time to kick off the tailgate with your host, Paul Pabst.
You ready, champ?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
On Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to the Tailgate 670 The Score. I am your host, Paul Pabst. NFL Week 8 is here. My guy, Sean Sears, on the board. We've got a big day today. 44 degrees this morning when I get up. Prime football weather. We are in the meat of the football season. A really nice slate of college football later today. We're going to get to that. Your boy is coming off a great Chicago weekend last week. I went to USC Notre Dame last week. Saints, Bears. Sean, I put on, honestly, I think I put on 4.5 pounds last weekend. You got to be impressed by that.
I'm sure it looks great on you too, Paul, man. That's what you need come the holidays are coming, right?
It's going to be fine. I got a lot of time before summer to shred fest. Also, we have a solution here on the tailgate. We are going to solve the Ben Johnson wiener circle situation. Obviously, that's prime Chicago talk right now. We're going to get to that. 15 minutes from now, we'll be joined by my guy, Adam Hogue, Chicago Bears reporter, CHGO. Bears reporter, longtime Chicago media guy. Hogue will join us in a little bit. You know, it's been a really fun week in Chicago. The lead this week, clearly, obviously, the Bears at 4-2. It's funny when a team is playing well, you win 3 games in a row, it leaves less to talk about. Now, that doesn't mean there's lots of topics and doesn't mean you're set for life and you're all good if you're a Bears fan, but it's like all is well. You wake up on a Monday morning and I really think there's something to this, depending how passionate about are you about your football team or your baseball team or basketball or whatever. I think it changes your mood as you go into the work week. And when your football team just wins 3 in a row, now I know there's some close wins, but it doesn't matter. When you're 4-2, you have like a sports mood that's better. And I think it helps the rest of your day. And if you listen to the score this week, there's a lot more positivity around the Bears. Obviously, when you're 4-2, there's less to chop up. There's less to talk about, but there's lots of other sports going on. You know, it's a good vibes week. You know, the World Series is underway. If you missed that game last night, by the way, the Dodgers got smoked. I think there was just another home run by the Blue Jays. Fantastic World Series game 1. The Bulls are underway this week, and I know they've got some injuries, but, you know, I love Buzelis. Nice little start for the Bulls. Blackhawks underway. Nice little start for the Blackhawks. I'm still waiting for the Blackhawks to get little, you know, Connor Bedard traction going. Messy week for the NBA. Good start with on the court, not a good start off the court. We could talk about this all day, but we're a football show. If you want to get into about gambling in the NBA, we could do 10 minutes on that. We'll get to that maybe in a little bit, but let's get to the Bears. The Bears' next game, Sunday at noon, Fox, Baltimore Ravens. The line is 6.5. Now, Lamar Jackson's been out a few weeks with the injury. Is Lamar Jackson healthy? I got to bet everything I have that he is playing in that game. I can't imagine a 6.5 point line, the Ravens being favored in a game where they're 1-5 and the Bears are 4-2. Now, Vegas has no opinion. They don't root for anything. They just go with what they see and they make a line. And when I see 6.5 for the Ravens, I think Lamar Jackson's absolutely playing in that game. If you think about it, a 1-5 team, how many 1-5 teams make the playoffs? Maybe 3%. I think that's the number, 3% in NFL history. If they don't win this game against the Bears, a team that's, I wouldn't say beatable, but if you put together a great effort, you could put together, you could beat the Bears. They're not a powerhouse team yet. So you have an oddly vulnerable Ravens defense. You have a Lamar Jackson who probably is playing, but it maybe is beat up and not the Lamar Jackson we're used to. And the Ravens are a big favorite. It's last call for the Ravens. This is a wounded animal. It's dangerous. It's kind of like, I'm going to talk about the Saints game in a second, but it's kind of like the Saints last week. What did they have to lose when they made that little comeback? But the Ravens, this is it. 1-6 teams don't make the playoffs. There's a little room in their division. You know, the Steelers losing last week, the Browns being down, the Bengals being okay, no Joe Burrow. That's a very winnable division. But the Ravens, they started way too slow. Now, that's a problem for the Bears. This is the kind of game where I walk into this game trying to make a prediction. I have zero clue how this game will play out, being honest there. You don't know what Ravens team you're going to get, what type of Lamar Jackson you're going to get. Will they have any type of defense? Because the Ravens haven't had defense this week. All right, Football Talk on the Score brought to you by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much. Yeah, you can. But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with a Week 8 matchup between the Bears and the Ravens. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. All right, we're going to talk more about the Ravens-Bears, but I want to talk a little bit about last week's game versus the Saints. Comfortable home game, 26-14, nice win, looks good on the board. 26-14, no problem. Nice points, good defense. By the way, Sean, went to that game, ugly morning tailgate with the rain, really ugly and cold. What were your thoughts there with that rain though?
I mean, I was surprised the game turned out as smoothly as it did, but I honestly thought they might push this. Man, you were tailgating in that?
Yeah. I have a buddy who has a tent. He's got kind of a high-end tailgate over there at Waldron Deck. He's got the big tent, so everyone's just huddled inside the tent, a little chilly, you know. But, you know, I had a Polish sausage and a beer, and suddenly I felt way better about myself.
Yeah, it's way crazy game. How that works, huh?
It works every time. It's like medicine. And then the game started, and the weather just kept getting better and better and better. So that was football weather. But we don't like rain here on the tailgate for football weather. We like cold. We like snow. Rinse and repeat. Or like, you know, 55, overcast. That's football weather as well. Rain is not football weather. It's fun to watch on TV when it's sloppy. Let's get to the game. I think all Bears fans expected a win over the Saints. Kind of an easy win, but that's always dangerous in the NFL. These teams like the Saints, who are not good, coming in 1-5, they always find a way to steal a win that they shouldn't have. And, you know, it was a slow start by the Bears. 3-0 after one quarter. You know, just a field goal. Swift and Manungai score in the second quarter. You're up 20-0. You're like, okay, let's put our feet up. Let's go get a pop. Let's enjoy this second half. And then the Saints kind of stole a TD before the halftime. Sloppy play in the defensive backfield on a long pass. The Saints score one before you go into halftime. You're like, that's not good. You could have been 20-0. Then early in the third quarter, Saints cut it to 20-14. I remember thinking to myself, this is just too close. This is a team. Spencer Rattler's not good. They were blitzing him. They were doing a great job getting to him. And 20-14 was way too close. The Bears took control, mostly with their running game, a couple more field goals, and then you get a 26-14 victory. It felt pretty good. The good from that game, the running game. Swift and Manungai, I mean, they're getting holes, they're getting blocking patterns. It's really great. 222 yards total as a team. That's fantastic. Sign me up. It's against the Saints, so you got to prorate it. The pass rush this year with the Bears is a work in progress. The front four for the Bears are not really getting it done. They were using blitzes. Dennis Allen was using blitzes. Brisker was coming in. Kyler Gordon was coming in. Whatever works. I think Brisker and Gordon are as good at rushing the passer as any defensive backs. I know it's a weird dynamic because defensive backs usually don't blitz. These guys are used to it. They came in hot. By the way, there was one penalty. I think it was Brisker went for the knocked out a pass, hit the arm, followed through and hit the helmet. We got to ease up on these roughing the quarterback penalties. If you swing to block a pass or to knock the quarterback's arm or knock the ball out and you incidentally hit the helmet, that's not roughing the passer. That's incidental contact. And that's not just a Bears thing. That's not me being a Bears guy saying they shouldn't have got that call. It happens. You're going 100 miles an hour. Brisker or Gordon or whatever blitzing linebacker or defensive back is coming in, and you occasionally hit the helmet. Let's let it breathe a little bit. That's why we have helmets. They're not out there with no helmet on. All right, so that was the good. Running game, blitzing, nice game all around. I wouldn't say the bad of this game was Caleb Williams, but the disappointing part of this game for me was Caleb Williams. I thought this should have been a game for Caleb Williams to dominate against a subpar defense. Instead, I found it to be a little sloppy, some risky throws, some over-scrambling, some stuff that we saw last year kind of perked up again. He was 15 for 26, 172 and a pick. And I found it a little bit frustrating. I think Caleb Williams is going to be a fine quarterback. And every time I see a game like this, I'm like, shh, I have to pump the brakes. And then you see the rest of the team doing well. I heard David Haw say it on The Score. I listen to Mully and Haw as I go into work every week. By the way, Paul Pabst here, 670 The Score, also work on the Dan Patrick Show. When I'm driving in, I listen to Mully and Haw. And he said, you know what? It wasn't a perfect game by Caleb Williams. But man, I'll take an average game by him and a great game by the defense, pass rush, and a great game by the running game, because those were the issues that have been plaguing the Bears all season. I think the really bonus for this team and the Bears this season is Ben Johnson. I mean, that's as obvious as it gets, Paul, but his play calling and by him and his staff, they're leading to chunk plays. The Bears are having more 20-yard passes and 10-yard runs than almost any team in football. I think it might be any team in football. They're top two or three. The plays are creative. They're deceptive. And I think the run game deception puts Swift and Manungai in position to break away on plays. And that's something you're not used to seeing as a Bear fan. You're not used to seeing creativity on offense. You're not seeing this used to seeing inventive plays. And so that was a game where you're like, okay, 26-14, not a blowout, nice win. Caleb Williams could have been a little bit better. Here's Caleb a little this week talking about that game.
I think you go back and watch. I think there was a few passes that we just didn't connect on that would have made it feel a lot better and look a lot better. And then on top of that, not throwing a pick would have made it feel a lot better. You have those games, you have those moments, and it's like I said, after it's being able to figure out what maybe the issue was or what was, that feeling was. And then if you ever start to have a moment like that or, a game like that, you know that moment, you know the feeling, and you snap out of it or you figure out whatever you have to do to get out of it, and you go help your team win a game.
Yeah, he's good at the podium. He always handles the podium well. I want to see him just dominate a team like that. But, nothing to worry about. A little cleanup on aisle five. But don't forget, Bears tomorrow. Join the Scores Circus Sports Illinois tomorrow at Timothy O'Toole's Pub in Gurnee. Wow, that sounds fun. Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully will host our pregame show there from 9 to noon. Immediate reaction on the postgame show after Chicago takes on Baltimore. That's tomorrow at Timothy O'Toole's in Gurnee. Sponsored by Circus Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. So what this means for the next month for the Bears, they're sitting at 4-2. I always like to look at the season in chunks. Look at the first third of the season. Couldn't really have gone much better. You didn't have one of those. Yeah, I guess the Lions game was a big no-show. But the offense has been pretty strong, constantly putting up 20-plus points. The defense has been improving, not great. Guys are getting healthy. The run defense is way better. The running game is dramatically better. Hopefully that can hold up against better teams. But the next four games are Ravens, Bengals, Giants, Vikings. These teams look a lot different than they did in August. The Ravens in August, that's a powerhouse. That's a team you pick to be in the AFC title game almost every year. Their defense just completely abandons them. Lamar Jackson's hurt. This is a win for the Bears. This should be a win, even though they're underdogs. The Bengals, Joe Burrow in that offense, Ja'Marr Chase, decent defense. Then they go away, and they've got Jake Browning, and it's a mess with the Bengals. Then they somehow swindle Joe Flacco away from the Browns. Horrible decision by the Browns. Now the Bengals are pretty good. What Joe Flacco is doing with the Bengals, he's just targeting his star receivers. He had 23 targets to Ja'Marr Chase last week. That's how you keep your receivers happy. Then you coming up in a few weeks, you got the New York Giants. Terrible team to start this season. Russell Wilson didn't do much. They bring in Jackson Dart, the rookie of Ole Miss. I wouldn't say they're a good team, but they're an energetic, exciting team. Cam Scataboo, the running back out of Arizona State. I don't know what you're going to get week to week with the Giants. The Giants had that big collapse last week against the Broncos, but the Giants were in the game against the Broncos. That's a tougher team than you expected 5 weeks ago. And then the Vikings coming up in a few weeks. Vikings are trending downhill. Carson Wentz is not getting it done. J.J. McCarthy, no sign of him. The defense isn't helping things much. the Vikings were a team that usually wins 12 games. I mean, I think they had 13 wins last year with, you know, decent quarterback play. They're kind of, they could end up last in the division. So if you look at the season sections, and that was the first third, it's a great trajectory for the Bears. They're in position to get in position. I think it's too early to talk about playoffs. I really do. I don't like talking about playoffs until you're kind of in the playoffs. But the next month really should decide it. Ravens, Bengals, Giants, Vikings. Get three of those. There's a possibility for four. Try not to be too greedy. But if something goes wrong in the next 4 weeks, then you're going uphill. You're treading water. All right? So here's a little bit of the other topic here. By the way, 6-7 to score. Paul Papps, this is the tailgate. College football coming up. Adam Hogue coming up in a few minutes from CHGO. But Sean, we got to talk about the big topic this week, the Wiener Circle. What are your thoughts on the Wiener Circle? They did this last month, four touchdowns for Caleb Williams. A lot of pub, a lot of hot dogs were given out, doing the Lord's work. What did the Wiener Circle promise this week, Sean?
They apparently want people, like, what is it? They want Ben Johnson to take his shirt off. They're going to give people more hot dogs, something along the lines of that. It gets crazier and crazier each week around there.
Yeah, it's basically, they said, they posted and they on social media, if Ben Johnson takes his shirt off, I don't know where. I don't know if it has to be on the field, in the building, before he leaves a press conference.
Like in celebration. So maybe like locker room celebration, maybe? I don't know.
Okay, at least that's somewhat private. But shirt has to be off. And then the Wiener Circle has a day of free hot dogs. It worked for them last month with Caleb Williams. Here's a little bit of Ben Johnson talking about the challenge.
You heard about the hot dog thing with you taking your shirt off?
That's been mentioned. It's a little disturbing. why would we want to see that? Any comment?
No. Why do you assume I'd have?
Are you interested in feeding people?
Well, yeah, I am.
Yeah, do you I'm not want people to eat, Ben?
I'm a man of the people, so time will tell.
That's an interesting response. At first, he wanted to get rid of the topic. Then he engaged a little bit. You know, when you're 4-2, you could joke around. You could have some fun with the press when you're 4-2. Towards the end, though, Ben Johnson seemed to warm up to the idea. I'm a man of the people. Time will tell. Hard to tell what's under the hood, you know? It's hard to tell if he's jacked, one of those guys who lifts the weights. You remember, like, Robert Saleh, the Jets? That guy's jacked. And, you know, Sean McVay is working on his hair. He seems jacked. I don't know if Ben Johnson's worried about not being jacked and taking the shirt off. If they beat the Ravens and he takes his shirt off and he's not completely jacked, Bears fans are fine with it. Most Bears fans aren't jacked. But, Sean, I have the solution for Ben Johnson. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm so ready, man. How are you fixing this for this guy?
Easy fix. Ben Johnson, right after the game, goes out back. You know, goes in after the game, he runs him back. He either goes to the press conference or he's in there. And he pump fakes that he's going to take his shirt off. He grabs the shirt and puts it up and says, "Nah, I'm not doing it." I don't think coaches should take their shirts off, especially college coaches, maybe. Pro coaches, no. You got to be more professional. I don't think he should, in seriousness, take his shirt off to celebrate the win. It'll come back to bite you. It will come back to bite you if you lose the next three. What you do is you pump fake in the locker room with the Bears if they beat the Ravens, and you act like you're going to take your shirt off. You're about to take it off. You're about to take it off. No, I'm not doing it. But then you say, here, I'm going to do one better. I'm buying. Hot dogs on me at the Wiener Circle all day on Tuesday. On me. And he announces it to the entire city of Chicago. He announced it to the National Press Corps. And I did the math here. I went to Southern Illinois, was there for 5.5 years. I learned a lot. Sean, if he buys hot dogs all day at Wiener Circle, let's say I asked around and they said that's about 5,000 hot dogs. You know, it could be anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000.
Sure.
5,000 hot dogs times $5, rough estimate, is 25,000. That's a drop in the bucket for Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
What's he making, 11?
Yeah. I mean, hey. That's fine, man. For a couple hot dogs. And also, like, you're a Chicago legend. You know what I mean? Hey, remember when Ben Johnson bought us all hot dogs? We love that guy. That's what's going to happen.
Absolutely.
Ben.
You win the game. You keep your shirt on. You buy hot dogs all day on Tuesday at the Wiener Circle
the
over on
pump fake
on,
is right such when, a good idea, too. Oh,
you
man.
You pump fake the shirt. And you know, it's okay. We don't need you to take your shirt off. We just want hot dogs. Get the Wiener Circle all set up. So, Ben Johnson, if you're listening, you probably are. I know he likes this show. Pump fake the shirt. And then say, I'm buying hot dogs on me, Wiener Circle, let's be there. And then I don't know if he shows up or not. That might make a wild thing, but that'd be pretty cool. All right, NFC North, Packers a top 4-1-1. Not really sure how good the Packers are, but ties help. Lions are 5-2, looking fine. Vikings slipping a bit and 3-3. Still a log jam and up and in the air for the Bears. There could be a situation where you need one injury or one bad thing to happen to the Lions, and they could be caught. NFL week slate, 8 slate, really good. I'm going to get to it real quick. Couple games that stood out to me, Jets at Bengals. The Bengals could get to 4-4 with Joe Flacco. Browns at Patriots. The Browns stink. The Patriots are really rolling. Giants versus Eagles. Don't know which way this one's going to go. This is a real pick'em game. The Eagles have been off all year, and the Giants have a little bit of momentum. Bills at Panthers. No Bryce Young. Andy Dalton, our old buddy, in for the Panthers against the Bills. 49ers, Texans. The 49ers, with all those injuries, are still 5-2. Quietly, Mac Jones is like, there should be an MVP for filling in for an injured quarterback because he's doing really well there. Buccaneers, Saints. Buccaneers have some injuries, but they're 5-2. They should roll. Cowboys, Broncos. The Cowboys, terrible defense. We've ripped them all year on this show, but their offense is doing enough to make them 3-3-1. Broncos are 5-2. Good team. I love this game. Titans at Colts. This should be an absolute slaughter. The Colts are 6-1. They'll be 7-1 in a couple days. Packers versus Steelers, Sunday night, NBC. This is a monster. Steelers lost that game last week. They should have had. They should be 5-1. They went to 4-2 and opened up that division. Packers are 4-1-1 and can hold serve with a win against the Steelers. I don't buy into that Aaron Rodgers revenge stuff. Aaron Rodgers they're in his rearview mirror, the Packers. He had a great time there. What's he mad about? And then you got Commanders, Chiefs on Monday night. This is, to me, his last call for the Commanders. Injuries all over that place. Chiefs are riding the ship at 4-3, but a lot coming up. We're going to hit some college football, the morale meter, my Bears game prediction, and we're joined by Adam Hoge, CHGO. That's next. This is the Tailgate, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved, or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Pabst.
I love football. Love it. Love it.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Back on The Tailgate, 670 The Score. I am Paul Pabst. A lot of college football to get to. We're talking about a Hoge in a few minutes. More Bears talking about 15 minutes. College football last week. Ohio State blanks Wisconsin. Man, Wisconsin is in bad shape. Indiana handled Michigan State. Coach just got the new deal. A&M gets by Arkansas. Georgia drops Ole Miss last week, and Ole Miss had him. Bama handled Tennessee. Bama's in great shape. Vandy over LSU. They're the darling right now of college football, and their quarterback, Diego Pavia. I went to USA Notre Dame last week. Notre Dame way back in shape. ND ran all over them, won 34-24. Notre Dame in great shape for the back half of their football schedule. College football today, UCLA at Indiana. Can't afford to slip up there if you're the Hoosiers. Ole Miss at Oklahoma. Whichever team loses there is really out of the playoff picture. Missouri at Vandy. If I told you 20 years ago that would be a prime college football game, maybe basketball, but that's a biggie. Both teams are right in the mix. Illinois versus Washington. Wisconsin at Oregon today. I would advise Wisconsin fans not to watch that. Do something else. Do some home projects. Go visit a friend. Give to charity. Stanford at Miami. A&M versus LSU. If LSU loses, watch Brian Kelly being on the hot seat. And Michigan at Michigan State. Northwestern football, I love it. I want to do like 10 minutes on Northwestern football. We don't have time, but Northwestern football is not just cute and lovable. They're at Nebraska this weekend. That could be a big win. They beat USCLA. They beat Penn State. They knocked a couple coaches out of jobs with those wins. Coaches get fired after they lose to the Northwestern football team. That temporary stadium they had right there on the water was gorgeous. I know they can't stay there. The next couple of games at Wrigley Field, but when I see Northwestern football, and then I see what Indiana is doing, I look at Northwestern and say, you have a good coach. If you could get that one quarterback that puts you to the next level, like Fernando Mendoza with Indiana, I think the future of Northwestern football is really good. They need investment. They need a couple of players like that. They have the coach. They're in good shape. But let's get back to some pro football. Joining us now on the tailgate, Adam Hogue, CHGO, Hogue and John's podcast. He's all over the place in Chicago for a long time. Always liked his work. We do a thing here, Adam, on our show called How's Morale, the Bears fan morale meter. After 7 weeks, where should Bears fans' morale be?
Well, I don't blame Bears fans for being skeptical still. Like, I think that's just got to be sort of ingrained in you. But I don't know. I'd still say like an 8 out of 10 at least.
Yeah. Soft
Is that
eight?
How we're doing? Yeah. Well,
you can go 7.7 because that's what I have, 7.7.
Okay. I'll go 7.9 then. I'll go a little bit above that, because look, the one thing that you should feel good about, no matter what the wins and losses are right now, or even Caleb Williams, you got to feel really good about the coaching.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking about Ben Johnson, but obviously that's the thing that matters the most, but Dennis Allen, the job he's doing, even some of these assistants, Adam Johnson had this great story come out yesterday about, Al Harris and the job he's doing, why these DBs are getting so many interceptions right now. They have 11 interceptions on the season at this point. The Ravens only have one. Like, think about that. The Baltimore Ravens only have one interception. The Bears have 11. So it's just Dan Roschar with the offensive line. The coaching is at a level I haven't seen in 15 years of covering this team. I mean, the only thing that would come close is I covered the last two Lovey years. And, you know, that was a solid staff, and Dave Tobe was coaching special teams, so you had a lot of good guys. But this is easily the best staff since then. So regardless of what kind of where the rest of the season goes, you have to feel good big picture about where this whole thing's headed just because of the coaching.
Yeah, I really agree with what you said there. And I was going to bring that up, but I'm going to get to it now. Like the defensive back blitzes to help the defensive line on Sunday, was, I thought that was great. Kyler Gordon, he's fantastic. Brisker, he's back. The other thing I noticed, I heard a stat, I don't know if it was on your show or another, that the Bears are one of the best teams in the league on big chunk plays. And I think they don't have the most explosive players in the league.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved, or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
I think some of the play calls are opening big openings for Swift or whoever it may be. And I see some of these play calls, I'm like, I haven't seen this before. You know, Bears fans aren't used to creative offenses. And to see this, it's refreshing, the play calls, the play designs.
Yeah, so the Bears are averaging 8 explosive plays per game. That's defined as a run over 10 yards or a pass over 20. The next closest team is at 7.1. And I think like the next... they're well ahead of all the other teams that are even behind them, and they have the second most explosive rushes in the entire league, despite playing one fewer game than a lot of the other teams. So it's real. That is an indication too. When you look at, okay, yeah, this offense has not been perfect. They keep shooting themselves in the foot at times, the penalties, the mistakes, Caleb's inaccuracy at times, and yet they're A, getting a lot of explosive plays, which is a huge decider in the NFL. I mean, that matters a lot when it comes to wins and losses. And then two, They're the only team in the NFL that scored 21 points in every single game that they played in this year. So I don't know what else you can call that other than Ben Johnson knows what he's doing, because at the end of the, he's taking an offense that still has flaws,
right,
that still isn't perfect. They didn't even have a running game the first four games. Now it's great. And yet they can say they're the best at scoring points. And I mean, they don't lead the league in points, but they're the only ones that have been consistently getting to 21, which is the whole point of this thing. Score enough points to win on Sunday.
Yeah, I've always looked at the running game as, I don't like spending money on running backs. If I were a general manager, I would never spend a lot of money on running backs. I know there's situations where you steal a Saquon Barkley because you're a Super Bowl team. But at the draft, I was a little disappointed the Bears didn't get a running back a little earlier. But I saw Kyle Manunga in college, and he's a bowling ball, like an old Natrone Means. You remember him back in the day.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And I think Swift is a B-level running back. He's nothing special, but he's definitely not bad. And when I saw the signings of the offensive line, I'm like, I think a running game can happen. It's not going to be top five, but it could be serviceable. And do you think that's the biggest takeaway from the past two weekends of Bears games, that the running game can handle its own the rest of the way, or do you think that was a blip?
Well, I don't know that. So they went from being 32nd in the league, which is dead last in EPA, expected points added per rush, to in the first 4 weeks, they were the worst team in the league. Last 2 weeks, they're second in the league.
Right.
So, I mean, when we...
What's it, real?
Right. And you might be listening to this and go, what the hell is EPA? But trust your eyes. I mean, it's just telling you what you saw with your eyes. They weren't good at running the ball. Now they seem to be really good at it. So what is the truth? It's probably somewhere in the middle. But to answer your question, I think when you look at how they're blocking this up, that's the biggest difference to me and what Ben Johnson has been telling us. I appreciate how honest he is at times.
Yeah.
Gives him credibility when he talks to the media. And he was saying, even before they turned it around, he's like, this is not DeAndre Swift's fault. We need to block this up better. It's the whole team. And then all of a sudden they go to Washington and you see these offensive linemen. They get from the double team to the linebacker to the second level way faster. Everything's moving in concert. And all of a sudden these guys got creases to run through. And I think Swift deserves some credit because he hasn't always been great with his vision and trusting, especially the lanes that are in between the tackles. And right now he's doing that. So I think it can be sustained, probably not to the number two in the league level over the last couple of weeks, but can they realistically be a top 10 rushing team from this point on? Yeah, I think that's possible with Ben Johnson.
Yeah, I think it's going somewhere in the middle, like you said. You and I haven't talked in a while. I think the last time I was over at your lovely building in the West Loop, by the way, at CHGO, we were talking about Caleb Williams, and we were talking more about the national critique of him. But, you know, sometimes I'm wearing a national Dan Patrick Show hat. Sometimes I'm wearing my Bears fan hat. And I was in town last week, and I went to the tailgate and then went to a pub, which is a pro move by me. I got out of the rain. And I was hoping for a nice, clean win against the Saints, and there was a lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff we just talked about. But it was frustrating going home thinking Caleb Williams did not look sharp in a game. He could have just cut them apart. If you remember that game against the Jaguars last year where he just cut them apart, I was hoping for one of those games. And I'm trying to be patient. I'm not a hot taker. But I'm also sitting there, I was like, when is he going to do the simple more often? Because he can make those highlights. You know this. You break this stuff down. But the second down and 8 6-yard button hook plays are still inconsistent. It's just the weirdest dynamic that he does the impossible well, but not the mundane.
Yeah, I think a big example of that is that we got so caught up in the Colson Loveland bad OPI call that they called on the pick play that it kind of got overlooked how inaccurate of a pass that was that Caleb threw, where he led DeAndre Swift right out of bounds on a wheel route that could have been a house call if he throws it in stride up the sideline the way he's supposed to, where he can run underneath it, make one guy miss, because he would have had to make, it wasn't for sure going to be a touchdown. He had to make a guy miss, but he definitely could have done it. That's an example of what you're talking about, Paulie. Like, there's just these simple throws sometimes that he's inaccurate on. And what's frustrating about it right now is, especially as someone who watches quarterback play as closely as I do, I am seeing a lot of good things from him that he's making progress with. He looks more comfortable in the pocket. His fundamentals in the pocket right now, his footwork, his base, it's very balanced. His feet are not moving like crazy. He's seemingly making mechanical strides working with Ben Johnson. And a huge question mark coming into the season was, would he be able to do this and be comfortable under center? Because last year he didn't look comfortable under center. Yes. and he hasn't done a lot of under center before he came to the Bears. So, but yet he is doing that. I think he's doing that well. And so it's this weird thing where all of a sudden,
like a flashback.
The things he's struggling with are things he's previously been good at. So look, maybe I'm just being a little bit too optimistic on it, but that, if this was stuff that we were like, oh, he's never done this and he's just never going to be good at it, kind of like it was with Justin Fields, he's probably just never going to be able to layer the football perfectly with great touch, and he's probably never going to be throwing with anticipation. Like, at some point, you just reach that level. With Caleb, that's not the case. He's doing some new things very well. He's doing some old things that he used to do well. Right. Now he's struggling with it. So I think it's going to come back around.
Yeah, I agree with you, because I think there's – you can't teach someone to be clutch. You can't teach someone how to get out of a play and make a 40-yard pass downfield. You can't teach that. He has that. I think I said on the tailgate, someday the Bears will win a Super Bowl with this guy, and it's because they'll be down in the fourth quarter in a playoff game, and he's going to find a way to get it done because he runs smart. He's not scared of the moment, and I think he's built for the fourth quarter. I'd like to see him more built for the first three or four quarters, but it's okay. I think it's fixable. It may not be Tom Brady dicing up the out patterns all day, but Brady had both. He did the mundane and he did the difficult. And it's like that one thing that could keep him from getting there, but it's that close. All right, Adam Hoge, CHGO Bear Show. He's got the Hoge and Johns podcast. You're all over the place in Chicago. We're going to talk a little bit about baseball in a second because I got a topic for you. But the next four games for the Bears starting tomorrow, Ravens, Bengals, New York Giants, Minnesota. It's funny that if I asked you 2 months ago, you said Baltimore, that's a toughie. Now it's an opportunity. Cincinnati, if I asked you 2 weeks ago, that's a Bears win. No Joe Burrow. Now they have Flacco, and it's a tough game possibly. The New York Giants a month ago, that's a walk for the Bears. Now it's Jackson Dart. It's a wild four games coming up because I could see four wins and I could see one win. What do you think?
That's why I like when the schedule comes out in May. I like to do it more in chunks of the season rather than week by week, where I'm like, all right, we got this chunk of the season, and I think they might go, 2-2 in this four game stretch versus being like, well, this is a win, this is a loss, this is
right.
Because it just changes too much. So let's do that with this four game stretch. I think 2-2 would actually be acceptable. Ideally, I think 3-1 would be phenomenal. I'm assuming Lamar's playing this weekend, and I think it's going to be a big test against a team that I still think is pretty good. And really, this is a playoff game for them. They have to win. So even if you lose this one, that Bengals game is not easy. It would have been a lot easier before got Joe Flacco. Cause don't judge me. I was actually at the Bengals Packers game at Lambeau a few weeks ago. Cause we were offered tickets, and I wanted to experience Lambeau as a fan. I've been there many
experience.
I've been there many times in the press box, but I've never sat in the stands. I really wanted to do it. And it was great, but I'm sitting there watching this game and I'm like, Joe Flacco here, he's doing what he should be doing, which is get the ball to Jamar Chase, get the ball to T. Higgins. And it sounds so simple, but they weren't doing that before, after Joe Burrow got hurt, and now he's doing it, and all of a sudden they look like a different team. So, I still think they should beat the Giants at home. And weirdly, I had the Vikings this year pegged as a loss at home in week one, but a win in November in Minnesota, because I felt like they might be going... I think the Bears might develop, and I thought the Vikings would be having some of these offensive issues they're having. So it'll be interesting who's playing quarterback for them by then.
All right. Now, you grew up in Chicago. I heard you the other day talking about growing up as a Bulls fan, and I want to look at the NFC North for a minute. The Lions, I feel, could win the Super Bowl this year because they almost had it 2 years ago. Last year, they actually new hands on deck, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. But it reminds me of the Bulls in the late 80s when they learned to lose and hate losing and what they had to do to win. I feel that this could be the Lions' year because of that.
That's an interesting comparison, and I can buy it. I think they've already passed the test, and the biggest question that I had for them this year, which was an obvious question, what does this look like without Ben Johnson running the offense? And it looks pretty similar. They really haven't skipped a beat. Like, it's not, I could probably dissect some specific things that are different, but they really haven't skipped a beat too much from that standpoint. And I was wondering, too, last year at the end of the season when they lost that game in the playoffs to the Commanders, did they just miss their window? Like, right. Is this window already closing on them because they did lose both of their coordinators? But I think in a lot of ways, Kelvin Shepard's actually been an upgrade for that defense, as is getting guys like Aiden Hutchinson back. But offensively, it's that hump they got to get over. And if they can, this NFC's open.
Yeah,
it's not going to be easy, but I think they can beat the Eagles. I think they can beat the Bucks. And if they can come back here and get the one seed again, where they can have home field and do it the right way this time and win, then I think that your comparison there might actually be a pretty good one.
Yeah, it might be one of those things where they're not better, but the Eagles are a little shakier. The Rams are a little up and down, but they may be hitting their stride. And there could be things. All right, before we let you go, it's great having you on the show. You grew up on the North Side and became a Sox fan. I grew up on the South Side and I'm mostly a Cubs fan. Now, just to qualify this, I don't root against the White Sox in any way. I've went to a lot of White Sox games. A lot of my friends like them. I like when the White Sox do well. I don't root. I root for the Cubs. How did you go Cubs, Sox fan from the North Side?
So, first of all, my mom is a South Sider, so that had a lot to do with it.
There you go.
Shout out Queen of Peace. You know, South Side, Chicago, Oaklawn area, both as they grew up. So that's a big reason. But also, shout out to my dad, who I know listens to the show because he has told me he listens
to the tailgate. Paul.
Oh, yeah. He loves Dan Patrick. So he followed you, you know, and he lives in Chicago. So he's been listening to you. So he's probably very happy I'm on with you today. But he grew up in a town called Princeton, Illinois, which is like straight, like
sure.
90 minutes west out in the country. But, so he just loved Harry Carey and like even listening to him doing Cardinals games. So when he came to do White Sox games, because people forget Harry Carey at White Sox games, that was when he became a White Sox fan because of that era that existed. And then eventually in 83, he had season tickets. He still hates the Baltimore Orioles because of what happens in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That year, I'm always like, why do you hate the Orioles? Like, what have they ever done? Well, 1983, and it still sticks with them. So, yeah, I grew up on the North Side as one of the very few White Sox fans with the kids that I grew up with. But we would just hop on that red line, go straight south to 35th Street, and go to games.
Yeah, mine's a little bit like that. You know, going to my grandmother's house when I was a kid, she lived in Dalton, and I'm from 104th Street, and then we moved down to the South Side in Glenwood. And she would listen to WGN in the kitchen. My grandfather would watch WGN, and that's all I saw. And I couldn't stay up that late to watch White Sox game. It's what, Channel 32 back in the day. Mm. And so I didn't watch them as much. And here's a tidbit since you're a Sox fan. The Pope was from Dalton, Illinois, our great Pope.
Yeah.
And his father was my grade kindergarten principal. And I didn't know it at the time, but I went to school in Glenwood, Illinois, and the Pope, his grandfather, was our principal and then superintendent. And I guess we lived about six blocks from him in Dalton, but I was like 3 years old, so I didn't see him in the hood that often. But it's a great thing for Sox fans to have a Pope in the building.
Well, I love it. And all of a sudden, I don't know, maybe it's a complete coincidence, but the Blackhawks are playing well. The Bulls won their first game. The Bears are 4-2. I'm not a huge soccer fan, but the Fire in the playoffs, like, I don't know. The guy became Pope, and all of a sudden Chicago sports seems to be going in a different direction.
It's like having a direct connection to the big guy. I mean, we are bypassing a lot of levels. I mean, you're going right to the guy who's going to get this stuff done. It feels pretty good. Hey, great having you on the show. Love to see your work every week.
Thanks, Paul. Always love talking sports with you.
That was a lot of fun. Adam's really smart, fun guy. North Sider likes the Sox. South Sider likes the Cubs. Weird mix. Up next, Pub and Grub of the Week. 3 and Out. The morale meter, my Bears prediction. That's next. This is the Tailgate, 670 The Score.
We're back with more of the Tailgate with Paul Pabst.
Hey, this place is really something else, huh? Hey, someday I'm going to come out of that tunnel and I'm going to run onto this field.
Well, ain't going to be this day.
I'm here to play football for the Irish.
Coach Parsi didn't know about it.
Here come the Irish.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Back on the Tailgate, 670 The Score. I'm your host, Paul Pabst. Busy sports weekend. October is tough, great tough as a sports fan. You got baseball last night. I'm going to watch 14 hours of college football today, another 12 of pro football tomorrow. Early odds coming up after this show, Inside the Clubhouse coming up in a little bit. Curious to see how the guys talk about the World Series, because when you see the Dodgers get smoked, and I think David Haw was talking about this the other day about the Cubs, it would be nice to see what the Cubs could have done against the Dodgers. You know, get Horton back. It would have been interesting. Let's get to it. Pub and Grub of the Week. The pub we want to go to this week, Mullins in Rogers Park, 7301 Northwestern Ave. Classic neighborhood sports pub. Lots of wing flavors. They have a triple burger on the menu. The only thing better than a double burger is a triple burger. Let's get to it, Sean. Three and out. Three football questions. I've never seen them before. You give them to me, and I give you my well-thought-out answers.
All right, so first one here. There was a clip of Ben Johnson's reactions, or lack thereof, during Key Plays versus the Bears Saints as he remained stoic during touchdowns, interceptions, all that and more. What is the ideal coaching demeanor? What do you want your head coach looking like on the sideline?
See, I like those cutaways. I saw what you're talking about, and I like stoic Ben Johnson. You know, some coaches get like fired up when their team makes a great play, and then they lose their mind when the team has a bad play. Brian Kelly, remember him back in the days with Notre Dame? He'd lose his mind every three plays. Keep cool. It's going to work out. I like the cool coach on the sideline, real smooth, not reacting. You know, when you're winning, you're cool and you're stoic. When you're losing, you're lethargic. So when you're winning, it's cool. Next question.
As we transition to the second half of the college football season, there have been a lot of teams that have disappointed. Who's disappointed the most so far in college football?
Oh, man.
Tough one, right?
Yeah, I think you have to start with Penn State. That team was ranked second in the country to open the season. Texas was a little bit off, but they're righting the ship. But Penn State football, they got their coach fired. And there has to be something said for the players on the roster who are making huge NIL money. They're semi-pros now. You got to answer for it. And now I know your coach is getting this big buyout, but Penn State football, you no-showed in a couple big games, and you cost your coach. You're responsible. So that would be the team, obviously. All right, next up.
All right, final question here. Plenty of NFL storylines, as we talked about. My favorite, though, might be Aaron Rodgers returning, or at least not returning, but welcoming the Green Bay Packers to Pittsburgh. But do you think this game means more to Aaron Rodgers, or possibly the one on November 23rd when he comes to Soldier Field to face the Bears?
I think it does mean a lot to Aaron Rodgers. He would love to beat the Packers, clearly. Now, the Packers didn't job him. They didn't screw him in any way. They did take Jordan Love when they could have taken another player to support him. But remember, they took Jordan Love when he was off a down year. And you can't really be mad if you're Aaron Rodgers, because when they took Jordan Love, it's the same thing they did to Brett Favre when they took you, when you fell in the draft. It's the exact same thing. He's got to realize that. But Aaron Rodgers said all the right things this week. He was very smart about it. He said, I love my time in Green Bay. It was nothing but good to me. It made my life. And so I hope Packers fans realize that Aaron Rodgers was one of the best quarterbacks in sports history for a long time for them. His regular season stats are insane. Insane. Now, he only won one Super Bowl, but a lot of fan bases would love one Super Bowl and being disappointed not to get another. That's three and out. Good job, Sean. All right, let's get to the morale meter for Bears fans. Last week, I had morale up to 7.4. You're 4-2. You beat the Saints. Not the best win of all time, but a nice win. I say the morale for Bears fans, how's morale? 7.7. Good win. The only concern, I say the good part is the running game and the blitzing and getting to the quarterback. You do want to see how the Bears do against quality teams like the Lions, the Eagles, the Rams. And it's a process, but it feels better weekly. By the way, my Hopeometer, which I'm debuting this week for Hope of Sports in Chicago, look at the Bears, Cubs, Sox, Bulls, Blackhawks, Northwestern, even DePaul basketball, my squad, all on the upswing in the past year. The Sox won 20 more games. Cubs are right in the thick of things. Bears better. Bulls, I love Bezelis. Blackhawks, good start. Northwestern football, new stadium, a lot going on there. I think it's been a very good year of Chicago sports. We have this defeatist attitude sometimes. You get my DePaul team in the NCAA tournament, I'm going to hold a parade. Here's my pick for the weekend. Bears have momentum. They're 4-2. The Ravens are fighting for the season. They're a wounded animal. I trust Vegas sometimes, and they clearly think Lamar Jackson's going to play. I got the Ravens winning 24-23 over the Bears, sadly, but this is a wounded Ravens team fighting for their life. That is the tailgate for Week 8. Huge weekend ahead. Go to a game, go to a pub, host a football watching party. I think I'm going to a Holy Cross home football game today. College tours for the daughter. Hope you had fun talking football. Talk to you next week. This is The Tailgate. I'm Paul Pabst, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.